Hello, my friends. I hope you're doing well, and I hope you know how much you're missed during this strange time. It's been way too long, and I miss the hugs. But I am grateful that we still continue to have ways to connect and support each other, and I hope you know that we are there for you. Let's turn now to God with a word of prayer as we begin our worship. Let us pray. Lord God, as we gather together today, we pray that you would help us to see you and hear you and understand you in new ways. Help us to be open to the new things you're doing in each of us. Breathe into us your Holy Spirit and help us to release all those burdens that have become obstacles. We thank you, Lord, for the many good gifts you've provided and pray all might be used according to your purpose. Feed us now. Free us and draw us ever closer to you and to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's welcome Richard Bruxford Colligan as he leads us in song based on our first lesson from Psalm 119.
Psalm 119 is the longest of all the 150 Psalms. The psalmist went way overboard here on this one to celebrate the way of God, God's Torah in Hebrew. There are 22 stanzas of 8 verses each. It is rich. It is a little obsessive even. And you could say the tone of Psalm 119 is mostly lament. But when life is hard, God's way is still present with us. And every once in a while, we have a moment of praise and thanksgiving and gratitude. Like today, our song today is "You Are a Light on My Path." I'll sing it a couple times so you know what your part is. What clarity are you looking for in your life right now? You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path. That's your part. Listen again. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path. Let's try it together. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path. I got a verse. Teach us your way, give us your life, smile at the praise we bring. Teach us your way, give us your life, smile at the praise we bring. Here we go. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path. My turn. Even in fear, we will not stray. You are our history. Even in fear, we will not stray. You are our history. Here we go. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path. I am resolved to follow you. You are my heart's delight. I am resolved to follow you. You are my heart's delight. Yeah. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. Yeah. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path, shining for the world, showing the way, leading on. You are a light on my path.
We so need God's light in this dark time, don't we? Isaiah 40, 21 through 31 offers us another encouraging reminder that God is always with us and will bring us through this. Hear God's word. Have you not been paying attention? Have you not been listening? Haven't you heard these stories all your life? Don't you understand the foundation of all things? God sits high above the round ball of earth. The people look like mere ants. He ignores what all the princes say and do. The rulers of the earth count for nothing. Princes and rulers don't amount to much. Like seeds barely rooted, just sprouted, they shrivel when God blows on them. Like flecks of chaff, they're gone with the wind. So, who is like me? Who holds a candle to me, says the holy? Look at the night skies. Who do you think made all this? Who marches this army of stars out each night, counts them off, calls each by name, so magnificent, so powerful, and never overlooks a single one? Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. He knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. You know, according to an old Buddhist legend, centuries ago, a woman in her grief who had a dead child went to Buddha to plead that the child might be returned to life. Buddha sent her on a strange mission. She was to go and collect a bowl of peppers from families she thought had not expressed grief such as hers. Mystified, but desperate for help, she agreed, going from family to family. And to her great surprise, when evening came, she came back with an empty bowl. But she herself was filled with a new understanding and compassion, and she realized she was not alone in her grief. It's one of the great challenges we're facing right now. Not only are we struggling with a worldwide pandemic that is threatening the entire world, but we are also being physically isolated when we need each other more than ever, and when we feel so alone. My friends, whether we like to admit it or not, we are in a time of mourning with no clear picture of what lies ahead. Many are feeling like their world is being torn apart with no sense of a clear way forward. And waiting, not knowing, is the worst. Well, back in 1969, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross published her classic book titled On Death and Dying. Maybe you've heard of it. In it, she identified five basic stages in the grieving process: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Right now, we are sadly witnessing an overwhelming number of deaths. But on top of this, we are also witnessing the death of life as we've known it. And we're seeing those stages play out now in so many ways as people get stuck and so feel so lost in their grief. We're seeing the denial play out in those who refuse to admit that the pandemic is real, and those still insisting on doing as they wish, refusing to wear masks, gathering unsafely, and all at a great cost to themselves and others. We're seeing the anger play out, not only in denial, but in violence and harmful, impulsive actions. Folks are bargaining with God, and rates of depression are soaring. What's different right now is that not just some, but all of us are in stages of grief. And unfortunately, getting stuck in any one of those first four stages, denial, anger, bargaining, or depression, keeps us from receiving God's comfort. The thing is, it's only in accepting our reality and seeking God's healing and direction that we can really find our way forward. Well, those who first heard Isaiah's words in our reading today had their own world torn apart. The mighty nation of Babylon was the superpower of its time, conquering lands far and wide. And over the course of many years, the Babylonians ripped away Judeans from their homeland. They carried them off to live in exile. The Babylonian invasion reached its horrifying climax when they ransacked and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. The Hebrew people were literally devastated. The loss of the temple was even more painful than having their homes taken from them and being hauled off to a foreign land. As Chris Cox describes it so well, the temple was the spiritual, cultural, and political center of their world. More important than all of that, the temple was believed to be the dwelling place of God. And it was completely destroyed. He goes on to say, when your entire world falls apart, it can raise many soul-wrenching questions. And the people of Isaiah's day were wrestling with many of them. They wondered, has God abandoned us? Does God hate us now? Is Yahweh not strong enough to hold back the pantheon of Babylonian gods? Were they the real gods? They wondered whether they should hold on to their faith even when the temple was gone. Well, we too have many questions upon our hearts right now. And Isaiah's powerful reminder is just as important to us where we are today. Isaiah's words remind us that God is great, not weak, but strong, powerful, mighty. And we are descendants of generations who over hundreds and hundreds of years have witnessed God's power and provision in overwhelming difficulties. It reminds us that God is with us and that we will be lifted by God's power and strength. As Maxie Dunham says, what the text suggests is that no matter what the circumstances of our life, no matter what happens to us, we have a source of strength in God that will enable us not just to plod wearily through life, but to soar. Not just to survive, but to survive with style and meaning. And he goes on to remind us that crisis always brings change, and crisis changes us. Well, one thing we're seeing right now is that we are sorely in need of change. Our scriptures talk about how our faith calls us to love each other in practice, not just in word, and how we are to love others as ourselves. We're to care about those who are in need. And this pandemic is shining a bright light on the many ways that we and our culture have acted counter to what Jesus taught, in spite of what we may say. When did we see you, Lord? Well, if we're looking now, we're seeing him everywhere. Yes, crisis brings change, and often in very surprising ways, because while we too often assume the worst, God is trying to bring out the very best in us. As Harold Warlick says, consider this. Virtually everything we've touched today is a living example of a minus having been turned into a plus. We woke up, we turned on a light bulb. That light bulb was perfected by a deaf man. If we listen to music, how amazing is it to consider how many popular artists have been blind or deaf? If we've ever been to a school or library, and we have, it's because the greatest achievement in higher education was made by a woman not only born blind and deaf, but also unable to even speak. I've seen this even in my own family. Just one example is my stepfather, who was a professional ball player with the Cleveland Indians until he contracted polio and could no longer walk. His dream was stripped away, but he didn't give up. Confined to a wheelchair, he decided to go back to school and he earned his PhD in education. But that was just the beginning. Eventually, he was able to help pioneer assistance for those with disabilities. And he served as the Commissioner of Rehabilitation Services under President Gerald Ford's administration. The evidence is before us, my friends. Our God is a mighty God, and our world is full of possibilities. Yeah, the challenges before us right now are real, and they will not be overcome anytime soon or with easy answers. Like the people of Israel, we are very, very weary. And we're not good at waiting, but we know because of God, we can wait with confidence. I want to leave you with one last thought from Kendall Ray Rothaus. It's not the eagle's personal strength that allows them to soar. Rather, they ride the heat of rising air. They're not flying high by their own might. Something is lifting them by the wings. Their job is merely to spread their wings and glide, trusting the invisible air that holds them. God is our invisible air, and all we need to do is spread our wings and glide. Let us never forget, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So let us fearlessly spread our wings and soar by the power of God. Let us pray. Oh God, our refuge and strength, these are truly trying times for all of us. And we confess that the stress and worry and confinement and the break from normal routines does not always bring out the best in us. We confess today our doubts and fears, that we do not always live as you call us to live or love as you call us to love. Forgive us, we pray, and help us to trust you and to be faithful to you and to truly live as we say we believe. Amen. My friends, in Jesus Christ, we are made brand new. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let's continue our prayers as led by Jill Duffield.
Let's join together for the prayers of the people on this sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Let us pray. Lord, we come to this time of prayer with the intention to set our minds on you and on the Spirit. Even as we are tempted to give in to worldly priorities and earthly idolatries, we yearn to know the peace that comes from surrendering to your will. Like the crowd so long ago, we want to hear the transformative and life-giving message that Jesus came to proclaim. We are eager to know your saving word, and we are bold to share our most pressing needs and our deepest hopes with you. Hear us as we pray for those hard paths in our lives and in your world. When we grow weary of walking the same direction and wondering if painful circumstances will ever change, help us to find those small fissures in our hardened hearts that can still shelter gospel hope. Do not let our communities become inhospitable places for your presence, worn down by treading the same way and unwilling to leave what we know. Show us now, Holy Spirit, the paths of righteousness and lead us in the way of Jesus Christ. Hear us as we pray for those rocky places in our lives and in our world where we settle for shallow understanding. Give us the courage to go deep into your word. When we want to maintain surface relationships, give us the trust to commit to truly knowing one another. When we settle for enthusiasm instead of substance, give us the tenacity to stick with each other, stay close to you, and work for real, lasting, long-needed change. Show us now, Holy Spirit, the cornerstone, and place our feet on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Hear us as we pray for those thorny fields in our lives and in your world. When the cares of this world threaten to obscure our vision and render us unable to hear your call, burn away the chaff and leave only the wheat that nurtures your beloved world. When we value wealth more than people and worship the idols of safety and security instead of our servant Savior, cut away those dead branches so that we can dwell again near the vine that sustains us. Show us now, Holy Spirit, the wheat from which the bread of life is made, so that we may be fed and satisfied by the body of Christ. Hear us as we give thanks for the good soil only you can create, Lord God. We rejoice that despite all that threatens to silence your good news, it still resounds through all creation. We praise you for your generosity and your grace, your mercy and your steadfast love that is new every morning. We give thanks for the abundant life-giving harvest you freely offer and call us to cultivate. May the good fruit we bear bring relief to the suffering, comfort to those who mourn, and peace to those who have no peace. May our sowing of the seeds of your word heal the sick, bind up the brokenhearted, and strengthen the weak. May our daily scattering of the gospel help spread justice, kindness, and mercy all over your beloved world. We make our prayer in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
My friends, never doubt for a minute that God is in this. God is doing something new, and though we may not be able to see it, we can trust it. And now may you go in God's love, God's strength, God's mercy, fearless and soaring like the eagle, In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen, and God bless you.